It had always been her lifelong dream to have her own resort.
Welcome to Haley's Motel.
She wasn't answering her phone. He couldn't find her.
There was a buzz in the air. Sabine's gone. There were two women at the airport, and they were sure that they saw her in line to get onto an airplane.
She could have gone back to Germany to see her family.
Right. Typically, in any missing person case, you look at the inner circle first, husband, paramour.
If she's declared dead, he gets a lot of insurance money, the motel.
Correct.
The man was very charismatic, drop-dead gorgeous.
What made you think that he was the guy who would have killed her? I mean, they were going out together.
We knew they had had an argument that day.
Why would that place burn down? Somebody was trying to destroy some evidence?
We just didn't know.
This is a murder mystery of epic proportions.
Both of us were obsessed with this case.
I'm sure my mouth was hanging open. Can this get any more bizarre?
There is a little island, its own bit of fantasy, off the Gulf Coast of Florida.
It's kind of a little paradise here.
It is paradise, and it just gets better and better, we think.
Anna Maria Island, where high-rise condos are banned, is 7 miles of unspoiled white sand, unspoiled houses, unspoiled people, too, most of them.
When you come across the bridge, it's a whole different life. I mean, you just come across the bridge, and it's like, I'm here. Yeah.
And here is where she found her little paradise, too. Came all the way from Germany for it. Sabina Musil-Bueller. And whether they called her Sabina or, as some did, Sabine, they all knew her here on the island.
Sort of larger-than-life person.
Absolutely. And the minute you met her, you just were drawn to her. I mean, she was just one of those people that you wanted to get to know better.
And even now, looking back on what happened to Sabina on the awful mystery, it just doesn't seem possible. Not here.
I mean, nothing happens on this island.
I mean, this is a sleepy little
island. It's Sweet Town. We don't have things like that that happen here.
No, and certainly not to her. Sabina made good things happen here. Crazy things. Happy things. Here at the 50s motel, she bought and reimagined, along with Tom Bueller, the man she married within 2 weeks of meeting, her partner at Haley's Motel. Longtime friends Nancy Ambrose and Susie Fox.
It had always been her lifelong dream to have her own resort. And Haley's came on the market, and at the time it was pretty
run down.
And we were like, you've got your hands full here, but we knew that Tom could do it. I mean, if anybody could do it, the two of them could turn this around.
Oh, and they did. Tom did the fixing. Sabina had the ideas. They invited the whole town to their quirky events, their dress-up parties.
Hello. Welcome to Haley's Motel. Please join me for a tour.
This is her with Giacomo, her ever-present parrot. Sabina was the star of her own promotional videos for the motel.
Well, I hope you liked our room so far, but with all the activities we offer you, you won't spend too much time in there.
Neighbor Barbara Hines.
Sabina never saw something that had a broken wing that she didn't try to fix.
Sabina was a rescuer. People, cats, dogs, turtles. When Susie Fox took over the Anna Maria Turtle Watch, nesting turtles are a very big deal here, she asked for help.
And Tom and Sabine were, I think, my fourth volunteers. And there's 9 sections on this island, 1 mile long. And they said they'd take as many as I needed to give them.
I watched her with a huge leatherback in the water.
Bonner Joy owns the local newspaper, The Islander.
Unfortunately, the leatherback was missing a flipper, and he swam in circles, so he kept coming back to the beach. And Sabine jumped in the water without a second thought. And she was up to here talking to the turtle's face, like she could tell this 400-pound turtle to turn around, you know, but or will him to.
So you get the idea.
She was just amazing. I mean, she just was one of those people that cared about everybody.
Like Nancy Ambrose, for example, when she was battling cancer and nobody would give her a job because of her demanding treatment schedule. Until the day she met Sabina.
You know, I explained what my situation was. She's like, great, that's fine. Come on to work. And I was like, oh, really? I mean, that was one of the happiest days of my life because here she was giving me a chance.
So Sabina had passions, animals, her motel, her white Pontiac convertible, and in 2008, a new passion, campaigning for Barack Obama, an uphill battle on this predominantly Republican island. So on election night, Sabina was certainly up for a party. She'd arranged to meet Nancy, in fact, in what they hoped would turn into a victory celebration.
She was so into the election. She was so excited. She wanted Obama to win.
Strange, then, that when Nancy arrived, she couldn't find Sabina.
And I thought she had already left because I got there late.
Sabina's husband, Tom, had been there earlier, too, but without her. Still, Nancy didn't worry. Not then, anyway.
It wasn't until a couple days later that I realized she was missing.
How was it possible? The woman who loved to celebrate didn't. The woman who loved to talk called no one. The woman who loved her motel suddenly wasn't there. Sabina was gone. The first troubling clue? Her car. Was someone else at the wheel?
Flags started going off.
Who was this mystery driver?
She would have driven through a very rough area, and it just came to my mind that maybe she'd been carjacked.
We said, we need to know the truth, and we need to know now.
The air was somehow different on tiny Anna Maria Island that November of 2008. Not just because Obama won the election, but because Sabina Musil Buller, the one and only, was not around to celebrate. Not with her friends, not with her pets, not at her motel.
She would never, ever leave her animals. She would never, ever not go to Haley's to work. I mean, that was her baby.
Then, 2 days later, 2:30 in the morning, a seedy neighborhood across the bridge on the mainland. A patrolman pulled over a white Pontiac convertible with a burned-out taillight. As the cop approached the car, the driver ran. There was a wild chase, but they caught him. His name was Robert Corona. And he had a story, said Detectives Jeffrey Bliss and John Kenny of the Manatee County Sheriff's Office.
Mr. Corona's original story is I was doing crack cocaine with the owner of the car, and it wasn't reported stolen.
Did he say he knew who the owner was?
Yes, and had permission to have the car.
But when detectives checked the registration, they learned the convertible belonged to Sabina. And Corona had a record.
He's a known street criminal. He has a lengthy arrest history.
And they learned from Sabina's friends that there had to be something very wrong with the story that had her doing drugs and drinking with a felon in a smoky bar in a seedy part of town.
She would never be buying drugs. I mean, she would not even allow people to smoke around her. She would not let people smoke on Haley's motel property.
Really?
I mean, not even on the rooms, but on the property. I mean, she was...
She was kind of a health fanatic.
Oh, she was. Definitely. She had a private personal trainer. I mean, she was very into health.
So they arrested Corona, installed him in the county jail, and in the morning, drove over to Haley's motel to talk to Sabina's husband, Tom. And... Tom said he hadn't seen Sabina in a couple of days. He hadn't filed a missing persons report, but did after police came around.
What was he like? What was your impression of the guy?
He was concerned for her well-being. She wasn't answering her phone. He couldn't find her.
And something else. According to Tom, Sabina never let anyone drive her car, not even him. Now there was a stolen car, a missing woman, and a known criminal. Not adding up to a good combination for Sabina.
Flags started going off, and shortly thereafter, detectives started getting involved as a missing persons case.
But then it got worse. When detectives went over the car, they found blood drops in the back seat. A patch of the rear seat had been cut out. So they sprayed luminol around, found more blood traces on the rear seat. Now Sabina's friends, like Chris Tillette, were horrified.
So then we thought, oh my God, it was him. He killed her. He must have killed her.
But now it was a homicide investigation. Detective Jeff Bliss decided to pay a visit to Corona in jail.
I put my business card down on the table and slid it across and said, we're homicide detectives. This isn't auto theft. We need to know the truth and we need to know now. And he's like, hey, I had nothing to do with any murders. And then he changed his story.
Corona's new story? He never met anybody named Sabina. He just found her car parked behind a place called the Gator Lounge, a not exactly upscale wine bar. In a jailhouse interview, Corona claimed it was just a crime of opportunity.
You didn't see anybody though, did you?
I didn't see nobody inside the car or around the car. So that's why I decided to take the car. You know, so I go inside the car, then I see the keys. So I'm like, oh, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I drove right, you know?
So the vehicle was left like somebody wanted it stolen. So he just took the liberty of stealing that car.
Was the second story any more true than the first? The local paper jumped on all this, of course, and Bonner Joy heard a lot of stories.
There were a number of people who speculated that Sabine might have gone to town to go to an Obama celebration that was being held downtown. The area that she would have driven through to go to that party is a very rough area, and it just came to my mind that maybe she'd been carjacked.
Certainly, something very bad must have happened. Something, maybe, that happened in her car. So, was Corona their killer? Or was he finally telling the truth that he stole her car outside that bar? But if that was true, how did it get there? And where was Sabina? Could it be Sabina had plans no one knew about? Had this free spirit simply skipped town?
There were two women who were at the Sarasota airport, and they were sure that they saw her up ahead, in line, you know, to get onto an airplane.
It was almost the perfect crime. Everyone was distracted, their attention elsewhere. Stacks of cold, hard cash sitting on the table, unguarded. Who wouldn't be tempted to slowly reach their hand out and steal a pile of Monopoly money from the banker? Monopoly is one of those games that can bring out everyone's most devious selves, and Monopoly Go takes that gleeful mischievousness to your phone in a wildly popular twist on the classic that you can play throughout your day, anywhere, anytime. Collect rent from friends on iconic properties, bankrupt them by pulling a heist on their vaults. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with friends to unlock big prizes and try to top the leaderboards. Whether you're helping out your friends or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is an absolute blast. Download it now free on the App Store or Google Play. It was a disturbing time on Anna Maria Island. What happened to Sabina? When they found her car, there was blood in it, and the felon who'd stolen it kept changing his story. So the logical conclusion was dark indeed. Still,
she could have just gone back to Germany to see her family or something, right?
Right, and there was extensive leads and investigation to determine that.
In fact, apparently Sabina had been seen, alive and well, at the local airport. Her friend Chris Tillette heard the story.
There were two women who were at the Sarasota airport, and they were sure that they saw her up ahead, in line, you know, to get onto an airplane.
But when detectives checked out the tip,
her passport wasn't used at check-in surveillance cameras at Sarasota Bradenton Airport, Tampa Airport, to make sure that she did not leave the country or fly out.
A couple of weeks went by that way. Lots of tips, no verifiable sightings. And then finally they got the DNA back on that blood in the car.
We're able to get her toothbrush and some other personal items for a DNA comparison.
Yeah.
And we were able to match that up. That was, in fact, her blood.
Her husband, Tom, told a local news reporter he was prepared for the worst from that first morning when he was told about her car.
The second I knew, when the police told me, that they found her car without her in it and with the keys in the car, I knew Sabina was no longer with us. I knew something had happened to her immediately.
So, looked like this guy Corona might be on the hook for murder. But beyond the blood? Well, evidence didn't exactly jump out at them. But who else? Had Sabina made an enemy? When detectives started looking at her life, they had to cast a wide net for people she associated with. After all, Sabina was like a magnet. Everybody wanted to go to her lavish parties.
There was a waiting list to get on her party list.
Exactly, exactly.
She could even get a little racy for sleepy little Anna Maria Island.
One of the more unusual things, she hired some people that she knew from Germany who came here to do nude body painting. And that blew up. That nude body painting on Anna Maria Island, you can't do that here.
But Sabina did what had to be done. It can be a tough business running and promoting a little old motel. Debts are fat, margins thin. And with the economy beginning to tank in 2008, what once was sunny and light was gray with worry. Sabina and Tom were in trouble. Neighbor Barbara Hines.
The real estate market had folded. I know from Sabina, not from Tom, that they were highly, highly, highly leveraged.
Please call me for your reservation.
And while Sabina used her marketing skills to try to keep the motel afloat,
this is Sabina speaking. How may I help you?
She and Tom couldn't do the same for their marriage. After more than a decade as husband and wife, they were that in name only. But what they did not do was divorce or divide up the business.
They were always still good friends. Mm-hmm. Very good friends. I mean, they
the
worked well together.
The romance part, the marriage part seemed to...
The romance part kind of...
Maybe romance changed.
It certainly did. As the detectives couldn't help but discover, Tom and Sabina had taken up with other people, both of them. He with a woman he'd known quite a while. She with a local artist who once worked at the motel as a handyman. And then there was the matter of the life insurance. How much did he take out on Sabina's life? The cops asked. $100,000, said Tom. Despite what was apparently an amicable breakup, people on Anna Maria Island couldn't help but wonder about Tom. More than a few, said Sabina's friend Karen Hodge.
A lot of people, you know, whispering and kind of, you know, suspecting him in a way, just because they didn't know.
Photographer Jack Elka did promotional stills for the motel and became good friends with Tom and Sabina.
There was no evidence found. There was no nothing. So everything was speculative.
Yeah.
Who did it? It's a who did it. This is a murder mystery of epic proportions.
So it was. And then, 12 days after Sabina vanished from the face of the earth, somebody set fire to Haley's motel.
I'm sure my mouth was hanging open, just going, can this get any more bizarre?
What was this all about?
We just didn't know.
Dead or alive, where was Sabina? Sabina's husband. That $100,000 policy wasn't the whole story.
It came up later, it was $300,000.
Money? A motive? Or just maybe jealousy?
He had caught him having sex in room 11 at Haley's motel.
The torching of Haley's motel here in Anna Maria, Florida, turned out to be as intractable a mystery as the disappearance of Sabina. What they did know was it was no accident. This was arson. And it started in a building beside the main hotel structure, a building that once served as Tom and Sabina's living quarters. Nobody was hurt, happily, but there were questions. Was it personal? An attempt to destroy evidence? Or what? Around town, some people wondered if Tom had something to do with it. Others dismissed that as just plain nonsense. Photographer Jack Elka covered the fire for the Islander newspaper.
That's when the mystery really started to, wow, another element of this puzzle that...
Yeah, why would somebody do that?
Kind of bizarre.
Surely it had to have something to do with whatever happened to Sabina.
Why would that place burn down? Somebody was trying to destroy some evidence or something?
It was a theory. We weren't sure if something happened there, and then she was buried somewhere. We just didn't know.
Months went by without a decent lead, though it was not for lack of trying to find one, especially where their instincts were telling them Sabina might be buried. The beach.
Well, whenever we would have break, we would come out here to this very spot. We'd stand here and review the case and brainstorm the case.
Detective Sergeant John Kenny and his partner Jeff Bliss kept organizing searches on the beach, looking for any area where the ground or the wide sand beach looked disturbed.
We took cadaver dogs, walked them up and down the beach. We used ground-penetrating radar, checked various spots on the beach, just trying to find skeletal remains.
To no avail. And in November 2009, the first anniversary of whatever it was that happened, on the beach Sabina loved, they had a little memorial. Husband Tom tossed a flower wreath into the surf.
There was no hope. We knew. She was gone. She was no longer alive.
But apparently the life insurance company wasn't so sure. And right around the time of that memorial service at the beach, Tom went to court to take the first step to get that money.
If she's declared dead, he gets a lot of insurance money.
Correct.
He gets the ownership of the outright of the motel.
Correct.
Yes, that. Funny, Tom had told the detectives before he'd held a $100,000 policy on Sabina. But when he filed papers to declare her dead, turned out there was a second, larger life insurance policy that he forgot to mention.
It came up later, it was $300,000.
The revelation made the newspapers. Attorneys for the insurance company argued that under Florida law, Sabina had to be missing at least 5 years before she could be declared dead and any insurance money paid out. At the hearing, reporters noticed an unusual group of observers listening to the proceedings.
The whole back row of seats was taken up by sheriff's deputies, and if they weren't interested in what Tom had to say to the insurance company, why were they there?
But Tom was not successful.
They denied a death certificate, and Tom was denied the insurance. And I could see
how they would
deny a death certificate.
Sure.
There was no body.
And then the police knew Corona didn't kill Sabina. A barmaid at the Gator Lounge was able to confirm the essentials of his story. So he was convicted of car theft, not murder. And Detective Kenny, who was an island cop had known Sabina and Tom for years, decided to have another try much closer to home. He asked Tom for any detail, no matter how small, that might take the investigation beyond the conjecture and whispers of suspicion that floated on the island breeze.
And he went into a whole background of their courtship, their marriage, and how it disintegrated.
Well, how did it disintegrate?
He told me that they just slowly, grew apart, and that they stayed together because they were very good friends and they owned the business together.
But, and this seemed unusual, while they stayed married, they moved in with other people. Remember, in the year before Sabina went missing, Tom started dating a new woman, and Sabina took up with a handsome, younger man who once worked at the motel. His name was Bill. Bill Cumber.
The man was very charismatic, drop-dead gorgeous.
10 years younger, in fact. Sabina was 49. Bill was 39, and very different from Tom. Tom, meanwhile, was still Sabina's business partner, and that's where things got a little dicey. One day, Tom found Sabina in a room in their motel with her new lover, Bill.
He had caught him having sex in room 11 at Haley's motel, but he said it wasn't a jealousy thing. It was a lack of respect that, having sex with his wife in the hotel room.
Not jealous? Maybe. Still, the detectives knew that sort of thing could very well drive a person to do terrible things. So, Tom and Bill, did one of them harm Sabina? They interviewed Bill the first time back when Sabina's stolen car was found. Learned that in 2008 they started dating, and eventually they moved into an apartment together.
Sabina told her friends she'd hit the jackpot with Bill.
Maybe this was going to be the love of her life. They were going to have a wonderful future together.
The last time Sabina's friend, photographer Jack Elka, saw her, she was with Bill. Jack had never met him before.
She came over to me and gave me a big kiss and hug, you know, how are you? And she introduced this man to me, and he shook my hand. Hey, Jack, how you doing, man? Long time no see. And I'm looking at this guy thinking, like, I don't really know this guy.
The question was, did anybody know Bill?
I think that the world's missing somebody special.
Emotion from Bill and a surprise from a stranger.
He said, you have no idea what you've just done.
Was he about to blow the case wide open?
For true crime fans, nothing is more chilling than watching Dateline.
Have you ever seen such a thing before?
For podcast fans, nothing is more chilling than listening.
What goes through your mind when you make a discovery like that?
And when you subscribe to Dateline Premium, it gets even better.
Excuse me if I sound a little skeptical.
Every episode is ad-free.
Ooh, wow.
So this could be your ace in the hole.
And not just ad-free, you also get early access to new intriguing mysteries and exclusive bonus content.
So what were you afraid of?
Dateline Premium. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or datelinepremium.com.
You ready for what's coming?
He would lie his way into their dreams.
He was looking for James Bond girls.
How fun would that be to be a Bond girl?
Then twist them into a nightmare.
This guy has done this before. He'll do it again.
Until a group of women banded together to put him behind bars and keep him there.
You have to participate fiercely, fiercely in what happens next.
I'm Keith Morrison, and this is Murder in the Hollywood Hills, an all-new podcast from Dateline.
All episodes of Murder in the Hollywood Hills are available now. To listen ad-free, subscribe to Dateline Premium on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or datelinepremium.com.
When Sabina disappeared from Anna Maria Island on election night 2008, detectives took a good look at the two men closest to her, the estranged husband, Tom, and the boyfriend, Bill Cumber, with whom she was living at the time.
Typically in any missing person case, you look at the inner circle first, husband, paramour.
Bill gave detectives his story of what happened the night she disappeared. Sabina left their place around 10 p.m., he said, intending to go to that Obama victory party. And the next thing he knew, detectives were at his door telling him they'd found her car and there was blood inside. A few days after that, Bill told his story again to a local TV reporter.
I think it's a tragedy. I think that the world's missing somebody's... somebody special.
He told the reporter he blamed himself, in a way, because Sabina left after they argued about his smoking.
Now, I feel responsible for her leaving here. As far as what happened after that, I have no idea.
The detectives were busy looking at records and discovered that Bill once spent some time behind bars. That was after, and unrelated to, his stint as a handyman at the motel. And Tom and Sabina went to see him in prison, sent him money, wrote to him. And he wrote back.
And, you know, Tom, I think, was just throwing him away, but she started writing him back and, you know, trying to help him.
As Sabina and Tom's romance cooled, her letters to Bill heated up. And when Bill was released on probation in 2008, Sabina was waiting for him. Sabina's friends, however, did not share her enthusiasm for Bill.
But it was just they saw something off about him.
Yes, that you know, she did not.
No, Sabina saw a young, fit, artistic man who just needed a break. Bill was something of an amateur artist, though his sketches didn't seem to amount to much.
But Sabina was determined to help Bill jumpstart his career, to get his artwork sold, maybe start up a woodworking business.
She had set him up in a wood shop, bought all his tools.
And around town, they certainly looked like lovebirds. Still, 2 weeks after Sabina vanished, the detectives asked Bill to come in for another interview. And that's when he told them about the argument.
We got in a verbal dispute. And when she left, I mean, I don't know. Officer Alvarado, I have no control over where she goes.
Right.
What she does.
Right. But you guys were not in a physical altercation.
No. We've never had a physical altercation.
But did they push him? Did they challenge him? Well, yes, they did.
Where'd you dump her at? This woman you love so much. She left. What do you mean, dump her? So, you dumped her. I ain't got nothing to do with what she...
You beat her to her fall. You have nothing to do with what happened to her
after she left? No.
But try as they might, Bill Cumber did not crack. So they sent him home, but kept an eye on him.
What made you think that he was the guy who would have killed her? I mean, they were going out together.
So we knew they had had an argument that day, at least one.
Was there any other evidence that pointed toward him besides that?
Not until he vacated his apartment.
Without Sabina to pay the rent, Bill was evicted. And the detectives got permission to get in there tout suite.
The first time I entered the apartment, it was a heavy, heavy scent of bleach.
Wait a minute, how long after?
4 or 5 weeks.
And yet the smell of bleach was still strong at that point?
Yes, we went in and searched it, and we found additional blood evidence with DNA.
What did all of that say to you?
Something bad happened right there.
But Bill told the detectives that was innocent blood. Sabina once cut herself here. And then they found Bill's DNA on the driver's seat of Sabina's car. But he told detectives she let him drive it.
We knew that no one, even her husband, was not allowed to drive her car.
But then they looked at Bill's hand.
He had an injury on his hand that was consistent with a friction burn that I myself had got when we were out here digging test holes.
Just from the shovel, getting on your palm of your hand.
Yeah, just from shoveling.
Bill said he fell off his bike. And the more detectives looked at Bill Cumber, the worse it looked for him. The reason he did time in prison, for example, he was convicted of arson.
He was jealous of his girlfriend, paramour, and...
They had an argument, and he tried to burn the house down with her and the kids in it.
It turned out the Haley's Motel fire was intentionally started with accelerants. Bill's shoes were tested later and had traces of accelerants, too. But that wasn't enough to make a case. So, did they arrest Bill? Charge him with murdering Sabina? No, they did not. A no-body case would be very tough, said the prosecutors. There's no proof the woman was even dead. So the detectives turned up the heat.
So there's always somebody knocking at the door. I want to talk to you.
We had a legitimate safety concern for other residents. Especially if he, wound up getting with another female.
And Bill couldn't take it. He left Anna Maria Island, left the county. Unfortunately for him, that was a probation violation. So, before long, Bill was in jail. Well, the detectives kept looking for Sabina everywhere. No trace. Then, in 2011, 3 years after she disappeared, a man named Ed Moss was clearing brush in front of his house on the island, right next to the beach.
And underneath a log, there was a kind of a small purse.
Looked stolen, said Ed. So he showed it to a deputy.
And his eyes got really big, and he looked at me. He said, you have no idea what you've just done.
It was Sabina's purse. Her driver's license confirmed it. So Detectives Kenny and Bliss brought an army of police and equipment and started searching the area for her remains. But again, after weeks of digging through the sand and bush, nothing.
Both of us were obsessed with this case. We know he did it.
Another thing Kenny knew was that Tom didn't do it. Remember, some people on the island had been suspicious of Tom but privately, detectives had long since cleared him.
I could tell that he didn't do it. But we went through the steps and we alibied him and did, you know, everything that needed to be done to make sure.
Apparently, his attempt to cash out the insurance policy so quickly was just a matter of financial survival.
I would never thought that Tom had anything to do with this. That's why I felt so brokenhearted.
So, with Tom in the clear, detectives consulted with other jurisdictions on how they handled no-body cases and lined up all the forensic and circumstantial evidence, and finally, the prosecutor told them they were ready. In 2012, 4 years after Sabina vanished, Bill Cumber was indicted for second-degree murder. But it was not going to be an easy case.
Obviously, evidence that goes with the body, you know, cause of death, manner of death, and we didn't have that.
And what would it take for a jury to believe handsome Bill was a killer? A final clue leads detectives back to the beach and puts a trial on hold.
He was crying quite a bit. That was the first time that I've ever seen him emotional.
The days slid by rather more slowly for Bill Cumber, back in prison on a parole violation and under indictment for murder. But he did have visitors, Detectives Kenny and Bliss. Both had moved on to other cases, but they still made time to press Bill to come clean.
We traveled 3 or 4 times up to where he was in prison and tried to interview him.
What would he say?
Said he had nothing to do with it or didn't want to talk to us.
But of course, they didn't believe that. The detectives were sure Bill killed Sabina. And in 2015, they thought they had an offer he couldn't refuse.
We got the blessing of the state attorney to offer him a deal.
The deal? Tell detectives where to find the body in exchange for a lesser sentence.
He makes the statement, "I'll take my chances with a jury. The hair on my neck stands up," because that's a very telling statement. An innocent man is going to say, "I didn't do it."
Bill would be taking his chances soon. His trial was just a month away. So detectives approached the one person who maybe could persuade Bill to take the deal.
Detective Bliss actually took the defense attorney into our property office and viewed all the evidence.
There was Sabina's blood on the couch, Cumber's hands with those blisters detectives believe came from burying her, and the evidence in her car, that cut upholstery with her blood and Bill's DNA.
I think they went to Cumber and said, "You know, we're going to have a tough time with this."
Pretty soon, prosecutor Art Brown got a call.
I received a feeler from Mr. Cumber's defense attorney that he might be interested in a plea offer. 20 years in prison if he would tell us the location of Sabine.
What do you know? Bill bit. On October 15, 2015, a bearded Bill Cumber pleaded no contest to second-degree murder. Then he sat down to answer questions with a tape recorder rolling.
What was that interview like?
Chilling.
According to Bill, the argument about smoking was just part of it. The bad part started, he said, when Sabina told him they were done.
So Sabine's saying she can't go on with this anymore. What happens at that point?
I lose control. I hit her in the head with my fist. And it's a disgusting situation, man.
What's her reaction to being struck?
She gets scared and she covers her face with her hands.
Okay. And what do you do at that point?
I reached and grabbed her throat and started choking her.
He choked her till she stopped moving, he said. She never fought back.
Did he seem remorseful?
Somewhat. I mean, he wasn't teary-eyed. He was just kind of getting off his chest.
I couldn't believe what I did. I stared down at her, and all kinds of things were running through my mind. I couldn't believe what I had done.
He said he took a sheet off the bed and rolled her up in it, waited about an hour, dragged her out to the car. He put her in the back seat, where she bled on the place he cut out the upholstery, and then he drove to the beach to bury her.
Did you bring a shovel with you?
Yes.
On the way to bury her, he stole a shovel from Haley's motel
And then, after he buried her, he said, he drove to the Gator Lounge, left the keys in the car, hoping somebody would steal it. And then he took a bus back to the island and a trolley back home.
I thought he minimized certain aspects of his involvement in the murder.
Minimize what?
He says that it was just a split-second moment of insanity. I think there was a little bit more calculation than that.
After the interview, Detective Bliss put Bill in his car and drove to the beach.
This has been developed.
Then, in handcuffs and leg irons, he shuffled down a long path to a place on the sand where he'd often sat with Sabina. This is where he brought her body.
A spot they used to sit out all the time, right down the road from Haley's motel, and then he buried her on the beach there.
Right here, where he and Sabina came to watch the sunset.
Right here? Which way did you put her in?
Right here.
Detective Bliss mapped the area with tiny yellow flags.
And about how deep was the hole?
About 4 feet, 4 or 5 feet.
And then the detective gave Bill an opportunity, whether he deserved it or not.
I told him if he wanted to say a prayer, he could. And that's when he got teary-eyed and emotional. He apologized to her. I walked him back to the car, and he just asked me to let her family know that she was a very good woman and she didn't deserve to die, and he was very sorry for what he had done.
Once he left, a team of detectives and the medical examiner dug slowly, carefully. And by the end of the day, they had found what was left of Sabina. What was that like for you after all those years of trying to find something and failing?
We were elated, me and my partners. It's a sense of relief, closure.
Bill Cumber was returned to jail and is now serving his 20-year sentence in state prison.
A lot of people probably aren't happy with the 20 years he got, but, you know, they're not part of the family that, you know, has to deal with it. Should he have gotten life? Absolutely.
Detective Sergeant Kenny is retired now, and Detective Bliss is no longer with the sheriff's office. Tom Buehler, who lost both a woman he loved and, for years, his good reputation, has tried to move on. He's remarried now and has sold his beloved Haley's Motel. And up and down the streets of Anna Maria Island, Sabina's friends remember.
I'm so blessed that she was in my life, even for that amount of time, because she touched my life deeply. And I think it makes me really appreciate each and every day even more, because it can cut short.
Even here, in this little remnant of paradise,